Tonight's reading is from James. James in chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I looked up in the dictionary to find out the meaning of the word wisdom, and this is what it said. Being wise, a soundness of judgment in matters relating to life and conduct, knowledge and enlightenment. Understanding, and an ability to discern modes of action with a view to their results. It is, above all, practical. The Bible is full of words of wisdom. In fact, there's even a section known as the wisdom literature. And if you read Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, it's full of wisdom, which helps us to be rather more sensible than the purse snatcher who decided to defend himself in court with the words, "Did you have a good look at my face when I took your purse?" Not a good idea. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom and foolishness. And just for a few minutes, before we get on to the actual passage, we're going to look at two things that the Bible says about foolishness and wisdom. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 14 that it's the foolish person that says no to God. The fool has said in his heart, "No God. There is no God. I will not have him in my life." But the wise person of the world knows that the fear of the Lord, respect and awe of God, is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And according to Jesus in his parable, the fool is the person who listens to God's word but does nothing about it. Whereas the person of wisdom listens to what Jesus has to say and puts it into practice. In James 1, James said a very similar thing. A wise person listens to God's word and then doesn't go away and forget it, but does what God says. How wise are we tonight? The Bible can make us wise to salvation, that we need a Saviour, that we need to put our trust in Jesus, that we can't earn our place in heaven or get there under our own steam. The Bible gives us all we need to live a life of godliness, a life that pleases God, as long as we put it into practice. Last week, We had learnt about James talking about the words that we say. Now tonight, we're going on to look at him talking about the way that we say it. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, he talks about blessing and cursing, kindness and unkindness, about the fact that our mouths can say good things and bad things, about the effect that that can have on our witness and the way that people see us. But tonight, the reading goes on to say, it's not just what you say, it's the way and the motive for which you say it. If we look at chapter 3 in verse 13, a truly wise person, says James, shows the fact that he is wise by living a good life, by doing good deeds, and by being humble. A person who claims to be wise can have all sorts of problems and all sorts of characteristics which we don't want to be associated with. And the next few verses are not very pleasant reading. So there are people who stand up and claim to know a lot. There are people who stand up and claim to be wise. People that you would meet maybe at work or at school say, I know the answer to that. I know what it says. I can tell you all the answers. But that can lead to problems. Let's look at verse 14. A person who claims to be wise can be arrogant. Arrogant. A know-all. There's nothing worse than a know-all, is there? You know, someone that thinks they can give you all the answers and put you right on every problem that you've got. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that knowledge can puff you up. You can be too proud of what you think you know. But knowledge will pass away. Only love will last. So James says, some people who claim to be wise are arrogant. Some people who claim to be wise are bitter and jealous. Why would that be? Obviously, somebody might come along and say, I don't agree with what you say. I don't think you're right. Someone else might say, well, I used to follow you, but now I've met someone else who knows even better than you do. He's got more followers than you. So that person becomes bitter. Why aren't they listening to me anymore? I'm the one that's got all the answers. I know. Why are they listening to him? Bitterness and jealousy. Or then the person who claims to be wise can become fanatical and unbalanced. You know, they know about something. You know, I can tell you all about the end of the world. I can't. I know all the answers to this. I can tell you all about that problem in the Bible. I've researched it. I know it all. So you listen to me. And they only concentrate on that one part. Become fanatical, unbalanced. Some people who think they know it all are selfishly ambitious, says James. Selfishly ambitious. I'm going to tell people what I know because then they will look up to me and think how great I am. They'll say, isn't she clever? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't he great? Perhaps I'll get a tour around the world and make lots of money if I tell everyone I know it all and I'm very wise. Or they might become overbearing, regarding all those who disagree with them as enemies. Enemies to be got rid of. Their arguments to be shot down. Not friends to be perhaps persuaded to a new and different way of thinking, but an enemy to be beaten. Now, if you believe that you've got the answer to a problem, and you go in all guns blazing, well, I'm going to tell you the truth, and you're going to listen to me. I'm going to prove that you're wrong. You know, if somebody from another faith or another culture comes along, I'm going to prove I'm right and you're wrong. What kind of wisdom is that? You might know the truth, but there's no love in it. And James says the people who've got that sort of wisdom, they're showing that that hasn't come from God. That kind of wisdom is earthly. It's unspiritual. It's part of a person's old nature. And seriously, it's even from the devil. Those of us who speak, whether it's in public or in private, we need to be very careful, not just about what we say, but our motives for saying it and the way that we say it. Are we arrogant? Do we become bitter and jealous if more people listen to their sermon than ours? If more people go to their church than ours? Are we fanatical? Are we selfishly ambitious? Are we overbearing and rude? James says, if you're really wise, you'll show it by living a life that is good, by doing deeds that are kind and helpful, and by being humble. Because this bad kind of wisdom doesn't do good, it does harm. He says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. Why? Because this kind of knowledge, it drives people apart. Some people will agree and some people won't. There might even be fights over it. It disrupts relationships. If you don't agree with me, I'm not going to be your friend. If you don't agree with my theological line, we can't worship together. It's clever, but it causes trouble and doesn't give help. As we've often said, you might win the argument, but lose the person, lose their friendship, lose their respect. True wisdom, says James, is totally different, because it comes from heaven. It comes from God. The Jewish nation and the Jewish religion is full of wisdom literature. The breath and the power of God and a pure influence flowing from the glory of the Almighty. That's wisdom. The breath of the power of God. A pure influence. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. And all wisdom comes from the Lord and is with him forever. The person who is truly wise is the person who stays in contact with God and allows his spirit, the breath of God, to work in their lives. We were talking this morning about the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our lives to change us. He is the breath of the power of God, and he brings us wisdom. And what is this wisdom like? Well, first of all, in verse 17, it's pure. It's pure in motive. The person who is truly wise, their motive is good. It's not out to make a name for themselves or to win an argument. It's pure. Is my motive pure? Are your motives pure when you speak to others about God and the scriptures? Is it able to stand in front of God and say, I did this for the right reason? That's why I said these things. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's peaceable. It brings right relationships among people. It's not cruel. It's not cutting. But it's helpful and kind. That's what real wisdom brings. It's considerate. The person of wisdom knows how to forgive. They've been forgiven themselves, and so they can forgive others. They know when to make allowances for people and when to temper justice and mercy. The wisest person who ever lived was our Lord Jesus. He knew how to forgive. He knew how to mix justice and mercy. When he met people who needed forgiveness, he gave it. When he met people who needed to be told where they were going wrong, he told them. He didn't pull any punches. But he was always considerate in what he said in his wisdom. If we are truly wise, we will be submissive. First of all, ready to yield to God. To say to God, I don't know it all. There are loads of things that I don't understand, but I want you to give me your wisdom. We need to yield to God. Then we need to be ready to listen to others. Is our mind so made up that we're not prepared to listen to anyone else's opinion? What if somebody came along and said, I hope you don't mind me saying, but you said this tonight and I'm not quite sure I agree with you. Why don't you check this scripture and see if it agrees with what you said? Somebody comes to correct you. Are you submissive? Am I submissive? That's what real wisdom is. We allow ourselves to be told sometimes that actually we might not be right. Submissive, yielding to God, listening to others, ready for correction. And then it's full of mercy and good fruit. Tolerant and kind. Not abrasive and harsh. And mercy for someone else who has brought trouble on themselves. See, someone who isn't wise will say, well, if that person's in trouble, it's their own fault. They can just get on with it. Reap what they sow and all that. But the really wise person will have mercy and tenderness and kindness. Wisdom reflects God, not just in word, but in action. And then the next one, in some versions it says impartial, in others it says undivided. Not wavering, firm in its convictions. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? When I was growing up as a teenager, there was a book called Know What You Believe, and then another one, Know Why You Believe It. Do you know? Or do you just think certain things because that's what the pastor says or that's what the preacher says? Well, they said that, so it must be true. True wisdom comes from firm convictions. And we can only have firm convictions when we have read and studied and listened and prayed. It could also mean that wisdom doesn't take sides. I'm on this side, they're on that side. And I'm not going to change over. Not taking sides in an argument. Being impartial. And then finally, wisdom is sincere. It's honest. It's not hypocritical. And then James goes on to write these wonderful words, that people with this kind of wisdom are peacemakers. People with that kind of wisdom are peacemakers. Am I a peacemaker? Or am I sowing discord? Are you a peacemaker? Or are you causing evil practice of disorder and strife? The wise are peacemakers who go on quietly sowing for a harvest of righteousness in other people and themselves. I'll read that again. The wise are peacemakers who go on quietly sowing for a harvest of righteousness in other people and themselves. May God help us first to be wise to salvation. This book tells us how we can be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. A foolish person might try some other way, but they won't succeed. The wise person builds his house on the rock that is Jesus. But then day by day, we want to be wise in the way that we live, living in humility, living in fellowship and help towards one another, not in strife, separation, or evil deeds. Let's pray that each one of us will not just think that we're wise, because we know a lot, but that we will be truly wise, because we have listened to the voice of God, examined our hearts, asked for the Spirit's help, and put what He has said into practice. That in our own lives there will be a harvest of righteousness. We will be right with God. And that in the lives of others, they will be right with God too. And we will be right with each other, because we live according to the ways of God. James writes that if anyone lacks wisdom, then he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault. As we've already said, if you have a problem, if you want help, wisdom, guidance, prayer, we're here. If you need to know about the wisdom of trusting in Jesus as Savior for the first time, come and see someone. We need to explain about Jesus and His death and His resurrection and His great love. He wants you to have eternal life, sins forgiven, and a friend in Jesus. But as we leave, let each one of us ask ourselves, are we truly wise? Are we living lives of wisdom, sowing seeds of righteousness, bringing peace to those that we know? Shall we say the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.